Yo, everybody, what's going on? Welcome to Value Town. I'm Chanman V, and joined today by Raynad and our guest today, Elky, who's, coming into the Hearthstone space and returning back to competitive gaming, man. I'm, like, really, really excited about that. Welcome to the
Esports.
Show.
Esports,
that's right, exactly. Lots to talk about today. We're going to actually have a little bit of an abbreviated show compared to what we've had before. So we're going to try to get in as much as we can. Just going to talk to Elky about joining Team Liquid, all that good stuff. And then we're going to talk Reno Jackson decks with the guys and see if they've come up with any cool decks. And then I have a couple of them. Savitz's deck and Kibler's... Savitz's Mage deck and Kibler's Warlock deck that we can maybe talk about. And if we have time for questions, we'll try to get some questions in at the end. But let's start off with Elky. I mean, the big news basically this past week that you are returning to competitive gaming, which for most folks, they know you as a super popular, awesome poker player, Triple Crown winner, actually, poker player. But most people don't know that you were a professional Warcraft 3 and a Brood War player before you actually got
there. Because Warcraft 3 is kind of like a super game, I think.
Yeah, exactly.
So, but I was a professional Brood War player for about three to four years in South Korea. Mm-hmm. And Brood War was really the top game at the time. That was the only game where you could really be a pro because there was no esports. It was pro gaming, and it would only happen in Korea, right? Like anywhere else in the world, it would be impossible to be a professional player, just because in Korea it was on TV. It was on TV in lots of cable channels, and it was followed a lot. But back then, there was no Twitch or no way broadcast. I mean, I remember at the beginning there was not even replays, right? You have to be friends with the guys, and you have to join a 4-player map, and people were play one-on-one, and you have to leave to command center and kill your visions.
Exactly.
There were battle reports, and then there were replays, and replays were wow, so crazy, we can see all those guys do. So it's pretty awesome to see how far it went and how it improved everything. Now is Twitch, you can follow the action, everything live. It's pretty amazing, yeah.
Exactly. Raynad, did you follow Brood War at all? Do you remember this guy at all when he was playing? I'm not sure how old you were.
So I was pretty young. I didn't know about esports at all back then, but I did play Brood War. It was one of the games I played the most, actually, but never competitively. It was just play with your friends and stuff, and nobody could beat Zealot Rush because we all sucked. So.
right. No, those were definitely the days. I miss the days when we didn't have replays, actually, Elky, because now builds are all, they're shared all the time now, and you don't get a chance to come up with your own cool builds. What's going on in Hearthstone.
Yeah, it was kind of cool because it was kind of this secret stuff, and and you can't see what he really did, so you have to, there's more guessing to the game, right? You get crushed, and oh man, how did he do that?
Yeah.
And all these replays, oh, okay, he did that. And before, it was kind of a big mystery every time, and it was kind of fun for sure, yeah.
Exactly. So
it's also really good for the esports that you can have replay, and obviously that you can see the action unfolding, and you can see the game. It's just so much better for the whole esports scene, I think, that you can follow all the action live now, right?
Yeah, and it's more to talk about. The casters can talk about more and things like that. But back to you. So, I mean, you've had so much success in poker, right? These last, 10 years now since you left? Maybe even 12 years now since you left. Why come back to competitive gaming now?
Basically, when I played poker, I kind of had to make a choice, and I had to quit. I always loved gaming, of course, and I had to quit StarCraft because StarCraft, it's a game that's so demanding. Mm-hmm. It's really impossible to be on one of the best in the world if you don't play 8 to 10 hours a day. Mm-hmm. And it's just so hard, right? And but I always played some games, and Hearthstone is just so perfect because even though you can play really good and you can be competitive. You don't really you don't need to be to have 400 APM to compete.
Yeah.
And there's a power of variance which kind of lets you beat the better players as well. I know it's getting a lot of hits, the RNG thing, but I mean it's kind of important. It's kind of a big part of the game. But I think it makes it fun, because it also makes the game unpredictable, and you can there's always outs, right? You go, mm-hmm. man, maybe you can top deck this and get lucky and unstable portal Jaraxxus or something crazy. And then Like StarCraft is an awesome game, but like sometimes when you see StarCraft 2, especially high level, people are so good. Like if they have an edge, they just play like conservative and they don't make mistakes. And it's really hard for people to come back in StarCraft, right? So it kind of brings this like this dimension that's like unpredictable and exciting, and anything can happen in Hearthstone, which is kind of the same as in poker.
Yeah, actually. Exactly. That's what I think. That's what's so appealing about poker.
Yeah, so. There's also like so many similar. Similar skills in Hearthstone and poker, because they're both card games, and they're both card games when you have to like when you have to kind of know when to gamble as well. You know, in Hearthstone, like you have a lot of options every time, and like you know if you're like way ahead and you don't need to take a special risk. But like sometimes, like when you're behind in the game, you're like, oh, if he has the combo anyways, I'm fucked. So I might as well just like gamble and hope he doesn't have it for 3 or 4 turns, because it's my only way to come back.
Yeah.
So it's like a lot of strategy for that too, and it's really fun. Yeah. It's also obviously a great game that's
really
fun to play.
So funny, Ray, because you know I think the RNG aspect is the part that you don't like about it, right?
But or I like least, it because I'm not the best. Maybe I wouldn't like it if I was the best Hearthstone player in the world, but now I'm not, so I kind of like it.
See, that's the problem I have, man. I'm the best Hearthstone player in the world. I'm just never lucky.
Man, that's exactly what it is. No, it's awesome to have you. You know. Back in competitive gaming, and particularly in the Hearthstone space, this is amazing. And for those of you that didn't see BlizzCon or watch any of the telecasts, this guy, and actually Jenny too, came dressed in like they went full throttle cosplay on day two, and he was actually Elky dressed as Mal'Ganis, and you looked pretty badass, dude.
I see his favorite card. It's just so sick. It's just so cool when he enters too, you know. It's just like yells and it's like so epic.
Actually, I saw you walking backstage and I'm like, who's this guy? I didn't even know he was. Oh, that's Elky shit, you know.
Actually, a lot of people didn't recognize me because you see like the picture like a little bit far.
I need to find the picture there. Let me find the picture to show people here. No, it was how long did it take you to get all that makeup on, man?
The makeup, it took like a bit more than an hour, I think.
Oh, okay. That's not bad, actually.
It's not that bad. It's kind of hard to wash up, but it's okay. It's worth it, though.
Do you cosplay at every BlizzCon?
I only went to the one in 208 before, right? It's second BlizzCon, actually.
Oh, wow. Okay. Okay.
I'm probably going to cosplay the next one, because it's really fun, yeah. I really like, especially at the BlizzCon, it's like there's so many people who knew it was Mal'Ganis. It's really sick, actually. If you cosplay like anywhere else in the world, they're like, what the fuck?
Right.
They have no idea. It's like, okay, it's a demon and stuff. But like, there's so many people who actually knew it was Mal'Ganis. It's like pretty crazy. Yeah. It's like, and the reception at the BlizzCon is just so great. You know, everybody loves it. And it's just like, kind of like feeling your element.
Exactly. Oh, there's a tiny picture here. But yeah, there's Jenny and Elgi there. It's pretty awesome, man, seeing you up there. But yeah, so... In terms of like skill, are you going to be like training, like trying to get better at Hearthstone, or is this more of like, you know, just kind of an ambassador for Hearthstone type of thing?
Now I kind of want to just be bad and beat Reynard by getting lucky. But,
okay, all right.
Just like every other player in the game, man.
Sorry, it would be so true, but I will train for sure. Yeah, I'm really lucky to have joined Team Liquid, and they have great players. So I'm gonna be training with them and with everyone else, and really try to improve my skills in Hearthstone.
Yeah, I mean you know those guys for a while, right? Like Victor, right? You had
I've been Victor for 15 years. Yeah, we've been friends forever. So that's why it kind of also made the most sense for me to join Liquid, because I knew Victor for a while, and I really trust him, and also I've been getting coaching by Sho, and he helped me out a lot as well.
Awesome.
All the members seem like really nice and great players too. So it's gonna be awesome.
Yeah.
Definitely. Also, the Team Liquid community, it was kind of like it was like built around the StarCraft community too. So of course, it just like makes a lot more sense, because it's like it's communities that I have a lot of a relation with already.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so you're gonna be, I guess, split in time between Hearthstone and poker, or are you actually doing Hearthstone more?
About 50-50, I think. It depends. Okay. I mean, of course, it's going to depend. Like, now, last couple of weeks, it was more Hearthstone because it was BlizzCon and Seed Story. And then, like, I'm going to DreamHack. And in December, I think there's not that much Hearthstone going on. But for sure, I'll be playing a lot online and streaming a lot as well.
Well, I'm excited, man. That's gonna be great, man, seeing all these events. But let's talk about the expansion. So, the new wing comes out, I mean, really, really soon. It hasn't come out yet, right? It comes out tomorrow, actually. So but the previous wing obviously came out, and Reno Jackson decks, right, are basically been the big topic the last week. How much have you guys been able to play Reno Jackson decks?
A lot, man. I've been playing it since the first day the wing was out, and that's all I've really been playing. I wanted to try the cards, so I just thought, I'm like, okay, what's the best class for it? And decided to do Warlock, and I just kind of have been playing it every day since. I was like the first deck I built was like Dark Peddler Midrange, and then the second deck I built was like Reno Warlock. It's one of the only decks I really played.
Right.
Since the wing came out.
That kind of seems to make sense here. Uh-oh, hold on. I think we're having some cam issues here.
Because I don't have the Sky Premium. Sorry for being a pleb.
No, that's not... That shouldn't be your fault. Well, I'm not sure how that works. Actually, your cam too, Ian. Ray.
Really? Oh, one down?
Yeah, there we go. Yeah, Sky's acting kind of weird today. Me. But with Reno, it's been exciting. It's actually been exciting watching the entire community just basically deck teching. You don't usually see that, you know what I mean? You see it for maybe a day or two, and then all of a sudden everybody just starts just copying everybody, right? And this week I feel like everybody's just been full out just trying to come up with their own Reno Jackson deck, which is great because we really, really needed that. Everything was just so stale that... You know, we just needed a shake up, and I think one card being able to shake things up a little bit is pretty cool.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Sure. That's pretty crazy, actually. Normally, like, it takes a whole expansion to change, and now it's like just one card, and it's just changed a lot, so much just from one card.
Yeah, exactly. Actually, the cams are still a little. Hold on, let me just restart this real quick. I'm just gonna restart these calls real quick. Hold on.
Does it work now?
Yeah, it should be better now. I just restarted it. Yeah, something going on with Skype. What's going to have to do? It's going to have to do.
Skype is pretty bad, actually. I need Skype Premium, and I can't even upgrade it.
I know. Anyways, we're going to have to deal with it. That's going to be fine. It's just a little bit dim. So Reno, Elky, have you gotten a chance to play with Reno?
Yeah, I played a bit yesterday with it, actually. I just made a Warlock deck, you know, and I thought, like, Warlock. I mean, Warlock is a class I have the most experience with, and Warlock and Mage and Freeze Mage are probably the best ones because they're the ones who get the most value from like bringing your life to hold.
Yeah, exactly.
Can do it a lot with a Warlock hero power, and also like, so I think like they're the two classes that are like,
most logical.
With a life total, like usually when you have like other decks, you don't really want to be so low in health because like you don't really get value from it unless you play Molten, but then. So I think the Warlock was like one of the best fits. So I play. I made a deck with it. It's kind of like a mix between like a Handlock and Zulok. So it's kind of cool because you can confuse people. I only have three duplicates in my deck, and I think it's okay. I have like two Voidcorrers and two Argus, two Molten, and I'm not sure what was the optimal number of duplicates to have for Reno to work most of the time. Have you guys done the math on it?
No, that was the next question, actually. I was gonna see what you guys think is the most optimal number of... Well, the most optimal is obviously zero, but what's the minimum number of, or maximum number of doubles we can have in a deck? What do you think, Raynan?
Three. Well, it depends if you count... Cards like Mad Scientist change the math, because they pull out a secret, so you can have, like... You can't have, like, two Ice Block, two Scientist, you know, and then it pulls, because Scientist pulls out an Ice Block. So then if you have Scientist, you can have, like, four, probably.
Right.
But, I don't know, I think about three. And, again, it depends on the deck, right? It depends on how much card draw you have. There's no hard number or anything. I play a Paladin deck that has two Chow, two Minibot, two Muster.
Pretty hard not to play.
I did lose one game to not being able to Reno, but most of the time it doesn't matter.
So you brought up the Paladin. That's a good example of a deck that's very hard, right? Not to play doubles, since they have these cards that are just insanely good. Are you thinking that there will be a lot of new decks? Like, after all this kind of experimenting and deck taking, will there actually be Reno Jackson decks like that are completely new? Not just like, I'm throwing a Reno deck into a Freeze Mage or throwing a Reno deck into, I don't know, a Fatigue Warrior or something like that.
I think Fatigue Warrior could work for sure, yeah. Maybe, but
Do you think there'll be completely new decks, like an Echo deck? Will an Echo Mage deck emerge from this, or something just that's not on the scene? Ray, what do you think?
Sorry, what's the question?
Oh, do you think completely brand new decks with Reno Jackson will emerge instead of just having Reno being added to a lot of the powerful decks right now?
Well, they are new decks, right? Yeah, I think new decks will emerge. Mm-hmm. Things like Paladin are good even with it. But you could put it in so many classes. Like any class that has a high amount of playable cards, mm-hmm. Reno becomes a valid strategy. I mean, I haven't even tried something like Druid yet, but or non-freeze mage decks are options. There's a lot of things you can do with that card, honestly.
Yeah. I've been trying every single class. And, yeah, for sure, Warlock and... Warlock and Mage seem to have been the most logical ones, for me at least so far. Just because of Molten Giant. Molten Giant seems to be a really, really cool card that has synergy with Reno Jackson and being a finishing move type of thing.
Yeah, for sure. It's just insane value if you can mm-hmm. play two more turn and hit 230 in one turn. It's just it's pretty brutal for the opponent, right? It's really hard. You could technically do it turn six, double Molten and hill 230 and have a 4/6 on board, and then usually it's pretty much impossible for your opponents to deal with it so early in the game.
Yeah, or the double Molten Echo, double Molten, and then Reno Jackson.
Yeah, play.
That's that's a sick play too. Any surprising decks that you've been able to build so far? That's oh wow, this is actually all of a sudden viable, or at least a little viable, not top tier, but maybe legend, being able to get to legend. Any class that you've discovered?
I didn't experiment all that much, actually. I mostly experimented with Warlock, I think.
Yeah, I think Paladin could do it too.
Yeah.
There's, I think a lot of classes can. The thing about Reno decks is mm-hmm. You don't really autopilot with them, because most decks have the decks that tend to have a lot of two ofs, you kind of do the same thing every game. You build your deck so it's consistent, and mm-hmm. then you play one of your two drops on turn two. You play your 1/3 drop on turn three. You play one of your four drops on turn four, mm-hmm. and then you do some cheesy burst damage thing if you're ahead. But with Reno decks, it's they have a lot more play to them, right? You play a lot of reactive cards. Your curves aren't. Your curve can be as consistent. You have the same number of three drops, but they're different every game, sort of. Mm-hmm. So the decks with Reno kind of they don't autopilot. They're harder to play because there's more unique interactions, and it's going to take more games to. You can't just play off of muscle memory,
right?
Basically. That makes it It makes it hard to test the decks, first of all, right? It's going to take weeks and weeks and weeks until we figure out the optimal lists. Is Reno Paladin better than, Challenger Paladin? And then after we do that, mm-hmm. I don't know, man. I think right now you can get Legendary with, any Reno deck, and you can get Legendary with all the old decks that are good, too, honestly.
That's awesome. I mean, that just expands the number of decks, which is what we were looking for, So I feel like Reno's probably potentially one of the most important cards we've had in Hearthstone in a long time, and to be able to change things so much with just one card is pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's really cool because it changed the whole design of the decks, because mm-hmm. before you just play so many cards that are so strong, you just play double of everything, right? And it's now you have to find another card in the slot instead of having two Shredder. You're which other four drops can I play now? Because put a lot of thought into deck building and mm-hmm. see which other cards could work in situation. And also even during the play, as Renat said, there's a lot of time you can be, if you have Reno and then you have a lot of chance to be able to pull it off, you can be pretty greedy with board control and get a sick board out there and let your opponent really overextend and just be greedier in overall. But there's a fine line, because you don't want to just get busted anyway. So it's really cool. Yeah, it's pretty exciting and interesting. It makes for a pretty good dynamic.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, why don't we take a look at a Reno Jackson deck, since we've been talking about it so much. All right, let me switch over here.
Deck tech initiating.
All right, here we go. All right, so I was going to talk about Kibler's deck, but actually Reyna just sent me his deck that he's been working on, and it's pretty similar. So let's talk about Ray's deck, of course, since he's here. And yeah, so I don't see any doubles here.
Where's Raynard's deck?
He linked them in Skype. Yeah, he linked in the Skype.
Oh,
check it out there. So yeah, basically all singletons here, which is pretty cool. And I guess Warlock doesn't have crazy, like, overpowered cards that you would have to play two of.
Yeah, everything you're fine drawing, like, once, basically. There's no card that I wanted two of, really.
You can make an argument. You can play two more turn, right?
Yeah, I don't even think it's that good in the deck. Like, because you only have one Defender, one Sun Fury, right? So, like, if I play two Molten, then I want to play an extra Taunt. Mm-hmm. If I want to play a second Void Caller, then I need to have a third Big Demon, like Doomguard, which is just a shitty card, so I don't want to play it. So it's like, this is the list that, like, I don't know. Basically, it is all one ofs, but I'm not. It's like intentional. It's because there's no card that I want to play two of.
Mm-hmm.
Like, maybe I'd play two Dr. Boom. That's about it.
Yeah. What do you think of Band of Doom? I've seen some people playing that.
It's like, it's one of those cards that's good value when you play it. But the problem with Band of Doom is that it doesn't, like, help you in any matchup. You know, against control, I don't want a card that deals two damage. Even if it gives me a big minion, and against aggro, I need a card like Sludge Belcher or Healbot that keeps me alive.
Mm-hmm.
So even though it's like,
you're lucky too, so
yeah,
Benad is never lucky. It's not a very good card to have when you're like, when you get the Blood Imp or like the
yeah.
It's pretty sad, man.
Yeah, it does. Feels bad, man. Definitely. A Dark Peddler's in here, so that's another new card. What do you guys think of Dark Peddler, Elky?
Dark Peddler is pretty cool, actually. I think it's really good because you get like Power Warming or Salt Fire a lot of the time, and it's just like the burst, it helps a lot, usually. It's just like kind of like more burst, like, so you can have like two Power Warming, even though, especially with like in combo with the Shadow Flame, it's just like pretty strong, I think.
Yeah, I think Peddler's one of the better two drops in the game because it actually, it's one of the few cards that fills your curve like on any turn ever. It's not even about what it gets, but like you can play it turn two or turn three, which is nuts. Like it's a card that has a split cost sort of.
It's really good because like even if you have no free mana card, you play turn two and then you get a one drop and your power, so it's like super mana efficient.
And there's also times where like let's say you don't have a five drop, you know, if you played it turn two, then on turn five you can play a four drop plus your one. Like the one drop basically fills in your curve on any turn of the game, which is like one of the hidden strengths of the Mysterious Challenger deck, because if you play a ton of secrets, then you can basically use all your mana every turn, and that's just the best way to win Hearthstone. You know, if you've ever watched tournaments and stuff, you'll notice that players will often like they'll make a play that's like suboptimal on board just to use all their mana like every turn. That's usually the better way to play most like resource-based card games. So yeah.
Do these Reno Jackson decks to you feel a little bit like arena decks to you? I kind of get that feeling whenever I'm playing these decks.
Because I think like I would be pretty happy if you have like Dr. Boom, Magani, Sylvanas.
Yeah, in arena. That's true.
It's pretty hard to get like 6-7 legendaries in arena. I still feel like much stronger than a random arena deck, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It depends how you build it too. I think when people started building Reno decks, they're playing a lot of different random things. They're trying cards out that seem good.
Mm-hmm.
This is my first like attempt at a refined one, which is like you build the deck with a strategy in mind, right? So this deck here is Handlock. So the strategy is like, okay, let's replace one of the Mountain Giants with a Shredder. You know, we have like one Drake, one Void. You have mostly the same curve as Handlock, the same play style, the same tools. So it's like, that's the idea here, is let's take like an actual archetype instead of just a pile of random shit and then fill in the duplicates with like a similar card as the second copy.
Mm. Okay. Interesting. I'm trying to see I'm trying to bring up Kibler's. Let me put up Kibler's right next to yours. See if there's any different concepts. It's pretty similar actually. Where is it? There it is. Okay, so here's Kibler's. And I'm trying to... Are there any... It's pretty... It's like... Is it identical? Oh my gosh. Oh, he's got a Mind Control tech in it. Actually, Mind Control tech I've found to be useful in Reno decks, too. And a Demon Wrath, too. Okay, so he's got kind of swingy cards here, basically.
And Mind Control Tech is a good card if you're not streaming. I stream, though.
Mm, that's true. That's a good point. Same. Okay, he's got an acid and ooze, too. But generally similar, though. I mean, I think for the most part, it's going to be the same. He's got rag, too.
Mm-hmm.
But Warlock, yeah, for sure, it makes the most sense, I think, with Reno. I just default, the hero power is so great for it. And I mean, you don't have to actually take any card slots with card drawing, card drawing cards, which other classes have to deal with, right?
Mm-hmm.
Warlock's so good that way.
But even if you have doubles in Warlock, because you're drawing more cards, you're like pretty unlikely to not be able to activate Reno when you have it. I don't know why I was stats, but like it feels like almost every game I could, even with free duplicates, almost every game I could play Reno for the heal when I needed.
Yeah, I mean, because of that, do you feel like you? I mean, I know Ray, you didn't want to play any doubles, but because of that, the Warlock does have more flexibility to play doubles, right?
Yeah, definitely.
But I guess the Mage too with the scientist, as Reynard said, right? Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
More flexibility, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, you definitely could play doubles in the Warlock deck. It's not that I'm not playing them for Reno's sake. I don't want to of anything.
Yeah.
But, there's so many classes you can play Reno with, and it's going to take a long time to figure out, like, what's actually the best. Paladin was working for me, like, really well, better than Warlock for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Until I got Doomsayer out of Shredder, and then I stopped playing it. But before,
I think we all saw that.
Yeah. But before that, it was on like an 8-game win streak or something.
Really? Wow. Yeah. Okay. What was in it? Like we don't have.
I'll link it right now.
Okay, sure. Let's take a look at that too, if we can.
But man, there's so many classes you can do this with. You know, like if I tried Reno Shaman, then I would probably cut. I'd probably play 2 Hex in that deck because your other 28 cards are going to be bad. So, like, that deck, you kind of have to play 2 of some things. Maybe 2 Fire Elemental, too. The thing about playing 1 of everything, though, is, like, there's matchups where you need to play Reno, like, on turn 6 to just win the game. Like, Face Hunter and stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
So if you're playing a deck with all 2 ofs, then it's like, a lot of times you're, like, winning the game anyway, and then once you've drawn 20 cards and you've had board control all game, people like play Reno and they're like, oh, see, it's okay that I had duplicates. Reno still worked. But the thing about Reno is that like in the matchups where you actually need that healing fast, you need it on turn 6. So if you have like your second Void Caller or whatever in your deck still, like you'll lose those games once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
That's not common. So for the matchups where you need to heal turn 6, playing 1 of everything makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
But then if you play 2, it's much better to play as you did, I guess, like with the mini mode and the muster, because it's also the cards that you will keep in your mulligan. So then, like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the Chow.
You will for sure keep them. So then it's, like, pretty, like, it increases the odds of, you know, working by a lot, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, do you have any... You don't have any card draw here in this deck, right? So...
No.
It would just be... Curve. Yeah, just be straight.
Just the elements, I guess.
But. Yeah. So you got Tuskar in here, all right, cool. Just as much heal as you can get in here with having singletons. Healbot, okay, yeah, this is pretty straightforward, Paladin. Looks pretty good. I could see it doing really, really well. Okay, let's talk about a mage too. So since, Elky, you were talking about mages. Savitz had a mage that was kind of interesting. It was... An Echo Mage has a lot of duplicates in it, though, which, we were talking about, with Mad Scientist, not duplicate, but it has, like, pairs, basically. And, with Mad Scientist, it definitely helps, but he has quite a few here, and I believe he was doing quite well with this deck, too. What do you guys think of this? It looks a lot like a standard duplicate deck.
I'm on the list. Echo
deck. Let me send you this real quick.
Yeah, I mean, this is basically just normal Echo Giants with Arena thrown in.
Yeah.
Which is cool, I guess. It's like a third heal bot that you can use after you Molten. I mean, again, with lists like this, you're going to have the problem of, okay, on turn 6, I can't play Reno, because the deck is all duplicates. But in the games where you do draw most of your deck... then you can reno. But I feel like with decks like this, if you get to the point where you have, like, you know, four cards left in your deck or whatever, you're probably going to win anyway most of the time.
Yeah.
Is the reno really good there?
It doesn't make a huge difference. Like, it might make a difference one out of, I don't know, 10 games or something like that.
Yeah, but also, it does have the two heal board and two ice blocks, so even if you, like, still have duplicates, it gives you time to activate reno usually.
Yeah. The ice block is awesome with reno. I mean, you can just let you go all the way down.
Especially because usually they pop you at one, right? They always try to pop you at one, and then, like, heal for 29 is pretty sick.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, Mage is pretty fun too. I've been trying even just more of a control, you know, just more of a control effigy type of Mage too. That hasn't been going quite as well as, like, the duplicate, or just the Echo one, sorry. But it's fun. It's definitely a lot of fun. I've been even trying Rogue, man, with the Nubarak and things like that. Just nuts. But I don't know. It's been a lot of fun. Hopefully everybody else out there has been just experimenting with everything. But this week's another big week. Actually, I think the coming wing is the one I've been most excited about, since it has a lot of the cards that I had, like, ranked really, really high. Let me show you those cards real quick here.
What card looks pretty sick, actually?
Which one?
The rogue card, the 3 mana, 3/4, in copy of Death Star.
Yeah, that's definitely a cool card. What do you think of that? What are your thoughts on that card?
I think it's gonna be really cool because usually rogues and minions are not the most value or efficient ones.
Mm-hmm.
So, and rogues decks also, they're not really based around, because their spell are so much tempo, they're not really based around minions so much, and it could possibly bring more tries of like rogue decks are more based on minions than instead of, like, spells.
It's definitely like one of the strongest minions in the game, but they put it in, like, the one class where it's not.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting. Like, is it worth?
If it was like Warlock, it would be the sickest, like, probably.
Oh god.
I didn't, like, because you can just, like, even, like, if you copy a creeper, it's just, like, so much tempo. It's gonna be, like, so much board. It's, like, impossible to deal with almost, right?
Yep.
Yeah. You know, I've been trying to make a Death Rattle rogue in preparation for this card, but yeah, we'll see how it works out. The Trog is really good too. The Tunnel Trog for Shaman. I've been super excited about this card.
That's the card that's going to make me actually stream Shaman. I've just been waiting for that card. So this wing is going to be so impactful. Like, the Paladin card's great too. The Rogue card's really interesting. I think Brand Bronzebeard is trash, but the other three cards are really good.
So. Yeah, it's funny with Brands. I know some other really good players that are excited about Braun, but I'm kind of with you. Like, I'm not as excited about Braun as I am with
I think Braun. It could have been very sick if you can double target the Battle Cries, right? Like, let's say, like, you have the Argent Protector, and on turn 5 you play Braun and Argent, and you give, like, 2 Divine Shield. That would be pretty strong. But I think it could be useful. It's gonna be much harder to. It's gonna be kind of harder because most of the time it's not gonna stay, so it's gonna be kind of like a flame maker, except, like, the minion with battle cries, they're always gonna cost more than spells, especially with the sorcery. So it's gonna be kind of hard to combo it or get a lot of value from it. Plus, like, let's say, like, some of them, like the keeper, if you can target two minions, then you don't really, like, it doesn't really matter that you have a battle cry because it doesn't trigger twice. Like,
it doesn't work with the druid cards though, like keeper. It only works with.
This keeper, like the keeper of Ulderman, the new cards, right?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, the Ulderman.
Technically, if you could, like, let's say if you have, like, a 1/1 and on turn 4 you can play it, and you can turn 2 of your 1/1 into 3/3s, that would be pretty sick. Like, if you play like a Coin Muster and then Bran and then this.
Yeah, like, to buff your guys, right? Yeah.
But then it's kind of like act like only one battle cry, so it doesn't really, like, affect all the battle cry cards, I guess.
There's no selection battle cry, basically, I think is how it kind of works. I think the most common thoughts about this card have been more to do with fatigue decks, right? Like Cold Light and that sort of thing with rogues and things like that. Maybe even Anti-Keelbot too, like a double heal from.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah,
I mean, but yeah, okay, that could be good actually in a fatigue deck.
Yeah, it accelerated a little bit.
You can't play it for value in a normal deck, though. That's the problem, because let's say I play it with something like an Earthring Farseer, because you got to play it with cheap cards, right? I play it with Healbot. That's going to cost like 8 mana.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So this guy's just going to die the turn you play him every time. So if you play it with like a Farseer, then you basically turned him into a Farseer, you know? Yeah, you got 2 heals, but you basically like transferred one of the heals to Brand Bronzebeard. So in order for this guy to be good with like average battle cries, you actually have to trigger him twice, which is really hard to do because I think he's going to die like every time. He doesn't fight that well. That's like the tough part.
Mm-hmm. But yeah.
I mean, maybe I'm wrong about that. Maybe you can use him with something like the Shaman card that affects battle cries is really strong. So like the 2/6. So I think if that kind of deck ends up being strong enough, then you would play Braun, but he wouldn't be as good as the Shaman 4 drop for your battle cries.
Mm-hmm. That's true. That's the 4 drop's actually really good. And then Oldemon here, like you mentioned a little bit, Elky, about just buffing your own guys, right? I think some people haven't been thinking about it in terms of that.
If you find a way to live and you have ball control, like, mm-hmm. to, like even August, if you give like +2/+2 to both agents and minions, it's pretty sick, right? Obviously, it's gonna be, as Reyna said, it's gonna be hard for him to live. It's gonna be hard to like get value next turn. You kind of want to play like low cost minion to make sure you can combo it the same turn as you play it, but it's kind of hard as well, I guess.
Yeah. It's interesting though that he can be played in all kinds of different types of decks though, right? Like, I could see him being played in possibly an aggro deck and most likely some kind of control oriented deck. So it's neat in that fashion at least.
So you just want to activate with probably those abusive. So if you give like +4 attack, it's 4/1 with a 2/1. It's kind of like a power overwhelming 4/1 except your minion doesn't die and you don't get the health, but the health is pretty useless in power overwhelming anyways, just because it's gonna die, right?
Yeah.
Unless you combine with Void Terror, it's just like +4 attack is gonna do the same thing most of the time. Oh,
people are saying it works at Discover too, which is actually pretty cool. Scarab could be good in Shaman. So Shaman's probably the best class for Braun because you have the other Battlecry card. And then Scarab is also probably at its best in Shaman because it draws you your playable cards. So, like, it actually works out kind of good, I guess, in that deck. Maybe like a Scarab Battlecry Shaman deck could work.
Hmm, that's interesting. Yeah, Shaman.
You think they're gonna have the Shaman Overload deck? Because actually, they're releasing a lot of cards like we have to deal with Overload, but then Shaman Overload never really worked out. Like,
yeah.
Well, I think the Trog is a good start because I was basically my wish list was another card that was similar to Unbound Elemental. And that's pretty much what Trog is, right? It's very, very similar to that. You get buffed basically you get some value from actually playing an Overload card now. So that's pretty cool. And it makes the Totem Golem play just a little bit less clunkier, or at least you're getting some additional value that that you're gonna have to pay for basically in turn 3. So yeah, I'm really excited to see if Shaman can get some viability here, even just with this card. And then
Mana Worm.
Yeah, well, it's going to be way better than Mana Worm. I think it's going to be way worse
than Mana Worm. Mana Worm is like the best one drop in the game.
You think it's going to be better? I thought it was going to be a little, like, along the same lines or maybe a little better. You don't think so? You don't think you can get to 3/3 pretty?
Every game you have coin, Mana Worm is a 2/3 with no drawback. Every game you have coin.
You have, like, so many more spells in Mage deck. Usually, if you have Mana Worm, you have a lot of spells as Mage that are powerful. True. Whereas spells, you always have X. You always have, like, there's Rock Biter and some of them, but they're not as like powerful as Mage spells usually.
It's true, but I mean, I see the Totem Golems, like, that's like a +1. I could see even Feral Spirit, right? Like, coin Feral Spirit gets you. I mean, that's usually a terrible play, but I mean,
if that was Mana Worm, coin Feral Spirit would give you +2 attack. I'm not saying Tunnel Trog is bad, I think it's a great card. I'm just saying, comparing it to like the dumbest one drop in the game is not reasonable. Okay. So.
All right, fair enough. All right, Keeper of Oldemon. What do you guys think of that? I know a lot of pros rate this card super high, like definitely like on their top 3. Do you guys hold it there? Hold it in that high regard?
Top 3 of the expansion, you mean?
Yeah, actually. That's
I'm not sure. I think it looks very promising for sure because it's so versatile as well, because you can like boost your own 1/1 or you can reduce another minion to 3/3, and it's like obviously trade perfectly with it because it's 3/4. And also, like, if you're like, let's say, like If you coin the true silver on turn 3 and then you keep her on turn 4, you basically like remove any minion that he has. So it's pretty strong. Like if you coin true silver on turn 3, you're mostly going to remove anything he has on board. And on turn 4, you're going to remove anything he played and have a 3-4 on board as well. So it can be pretty strong, I think.
It's a good card. The issue with it is it costs 4 mana. So it's like, what do you cut? You know, like an aggressive deck is going to prefer Shredder. It's going to prefer Blessing of Kings. It's also going to prefer True Silver over all those things. And then it's like, do you cut Consecration? Well, it's like one of the, your only AoEs, so you need it if you're playing a more defensive list. So Keeper, it's hard to picture, even though it's a great card, it's hard to picture a deck that you like want it in. Man, I really wish this was like a Shaman card, but yeah.
Yeah, actually, a Shaman. Yeah, that would make Shaman... a lot better. To, I mean, that would help Shaman quite a bit having this card be specific to that. Yeah, I do you hold it as like one of the best cards in this expansion though, like in that regard?
It's always hard to say before, right? Because like a lot of people say, you know, it's never gonna work because like consistency in the deck, and now it's actually pretty powerful. So, what are the other cards coming out next? I think the Druid card looks really strong, like the one mana discover. Discover, what is it? Discover a minion or a spell, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, the one minion,
When I Druid card, it's like so perfect too, because like, especially with Druid, with a Ram Druid, it's just like a lot of turns when you have like one mana to spare, like so many turns that you're like, you never have the perfect curve. Like I said, if you have six mana and you have a lot of five drops and seven drops, you never have like, you only have the Emperor, I think, that's like six. Yeah. And Force of Nature, but you rather not get it on curve, so it's like pretty strong, I think.
Yeah, just.
Really, Druid cards have so much value, and then you can bleed. Turn one, and you can like whenever you play it, you can like choose like the card that gives you the best curve too. So it's like pretty strong, I think.
Yeah, it draws you into really unexpected stuff too. I think it's really tough to say like what's the top three card in the set, because like I started writing these articles every expansion on like the top 10 cards in the set, and people just get like really pissed every time. Like for the first one for GBG, like for the first one for GBG, I just did the cards that are like boring that like we'll see play no matter what. Stuff like Dark Bomb, like, you know, that kind of crap. Yeah. Dark Bomb, Crackle. I'm like, yeah, these cards are good. This is why they'll see play. And then for TGT, I'm like, okay, this time I'm going to do it different. I'm going to do it based on like the power level of cards in a vacuum. So some of these cards will be good like a year from now, but they're not good like right away.
Mm-hmm.
So, and like most of that list is, because TGT is like has so many niche cards, most of that list is like not in aggro decks that people see every other game. So they're like, you know, what a shitty top 10, because I have stuff like the 3-4 Sisters and like Justicar Trueheart on the list, you know. Lock and Load, a card that I think is really fucking good
eventually,
like,
eventually.
Mm-hmm. So like they, I don't know, people just get like mad that like, oh, you put Lock and Load at number one, you're horrible at evaluating cards, because they don't understand the concept of like what's good in a vacuum, you know. Keeper of Uldumon is good in a vacuum, but if I were to put it on my top 10 list, I don't think it would see that much play after all these cards are out, just because it competes with other four drops. So even though it's like such a powerful card, is it like the third most powerful card in the set? Maybe, but you know, fucking people on Reddit are gonna be really mad because it's. I'm not putting it anywhere near my lists because you know it won't see that much play. It's just to pick safe cards like Tunnel Trog. Like, oh, Shaman gets a one drop. Yeah, that'll see play. So
yeah, I see what you
mean. Then I'll look smart, you know, and people reference that list without reading a fucking word that I wrote like 6 months down the line. Really. Really salty about like those top 10.
What do you mean? You get credit for all the, you get credit for all these decks. What are you talking about? Yeah. For things you said in the past.
I guess. I don't know, man.
Saltmaster.
Saltmaster, yeah. Where are the other six, actually? I don't have the... So the Druid's one of them, and... God, where's that list? There's what's the other class one? Do you know? Do you
the Raptor would be pretty sick. The Raptor seems like the like in the vacuum the best, right? Because it's just like so strong.
Which one?
The Raptor. It's like spider tank. Like a spider tank.
Oh yeah.
Nothing except it's a mech, and then it's just like pretty strong. Like in a dream, if you like turn two egg and turn three Raptor, it's just like wow.
Yeah, that's true.
Super. Except like Rogue doesn't really have a activator.
Yeah, egg and a Rogue is I don't know.
Cold blood, man. Get him.
Cold blood.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
But yeah, in a vacuum, Raptor's like one of the strongest minions in the game. Probably the strongest three mana minion.
So if you have Brand and Raptor, like they said, like you play like Brand and Raptor and you copy an egg, do you have like two Nerubian come out if the Raptor dies? That would be so sick.
I think that's how it works, right? Yeah, that's how I interpret it.
Well, that's pretty sick, actually.
Yeah, like a double combo. that's pretty awesome. No, but I see Raptor as being like a late. The cool thing about Raptor is that it's not. It can be a turn three play, right? Which, like you said, with Egg and Creeper, and that's pretty cool, and it's great tempo. But it actually translates to late game, too. Like, you could play it with a Sylvanas, which would be, like, amazing.
Rogue Deck doesn't play Sylvanas, though. So
I know, like, but if you did, right?
Like, build a new Rogue Deck around it, because, like... But, yeah, for sure, there's a lot of potential. Like, as a, like, individual card, if it was in any other class, it would probably be, like, almost OP, I think.
Yeah. Or even after Pilot Rare, maybe turn five is, like, hero power... Raptor.
Yeah, that's pretty nuts too.
Yeah, there's a lot of really sick, but it's the least value I think comes from playing on turn three actually. All right, well, why don't we see if we can take any questions? Let me see if there were, like, again, guys, we have a little bit of an abbreviated episode this week because guys got to get going here, but
being soon actually, like within like 5 minutes.
Exactly. Let's just take like one or two questions here. I had one on Reddit, or I had on Twitch here. Where is it? Okay, so Arthur Kachenko asks, do you think that the Hearthstone devs are going in the right direction in terms of card design in League of Explorers?
I think it sets way better than TGT. I think they did a good job with it, and hopefully they keep going down this direction.
Yeah, I definitely agree too. Elky, what do you think?
I think it's really good. I mean, yeah, it's also really hard also when you release like as big of expansion as TGT to make like so many cards that are like valuable and impactful, right? When you like release so many cards, they have to be like for sure gonna be a lot of them that are not gonna be as meaningful. Mm-hmm. So it's always really hard because they don't. But I think it's a pretty exciting expansion. I think like the fact that like in 1 week like four cards change almost everything. Like also expansion, I think like especially like. I think like Blackrock and Nax, like when there was one wing out, just basically changes nothing, right? There's like one new dragon and you can't do anything with it.
With Emperor, yeah.
So it's like looks pretty cool actually, yeah.
Yeah, I agree too. I think, especially given this is like a very small expansion, that
legendaries are going to be as impactful as Reno. Reno is probably going to be the most impactful card of the whole expansion, but there's still like a lot of cool stuff like the rogue card, the keeper, like a lot of cool cards. Yeah
absolutely. So yeah, so the answer is yes, continue doing that, guys. They're definitely great. Let's see, next question. There was a question about Shaman. Let me see.
I like the Discover mechanic better too. It's pretty cool, I think.
Which one? Oh, Discover. Oh yeah, I think Discover.
It's really good. It also changes value depending on the class and that you played with, and like it can really like it kind of helps smooth your curve. It can give you good value. It's pretty good overall, I think.
Yeah, if you're gonna do RNG, I think that one's much is a smarter way to do RNG than
Shredder.
The web spinners. Yeah, Shredder and web spinners and just craziness like that. Okay, there's a question. Can Shaman compete in the current meta, specifically against Hunter, since they are the most popular class at the moment?
Oh, is Hunter the most popular class, is it? I don't know.
I don't know if Hunter's the most popular. I mean, Face Hunter before this expansion, right, was definitely
the most popular.
Yeah. I'm sure there's still plenty of Face Hunters out there. So I guess the question is just generally for a Shaman, though. I guess, is Shaman going to get boosted up here?
Yeah, needs that one drop. It's really strong. The 4-mana Battlecry card is also really powerful. So I think Shaman will be better. Like we'll see if it got enough good cards to be good. But the thing is, like Warlock got like aggressive Warlock decks all got Peddler. Defensive control decks all got Reno for every class. So Shaman needs to get basically like more good cards than the other classes in order to improve its standing. If Shaman gets two good cards, but then every other class also gets two good cards, then it doesn't get any, like the deck gets better, but so does everything else. So it's still going to be, tier 10. But I don't know. The one drop is nuts. So that might be enough. We'll see.
Alki, what do you think? Shaman,
Yeah, I think if he has even like more cards and like more cards that could be used to build a deck, then you could even like put Reno in the shaman deck eventually too, you know, because most of the times they don't have heal, and the problem is like you like use your life with like the Doomhammer or like against Hunter, you get kind of low pretty fast.
Mm-hmm.
So that could. I think now it's kind of hard to do just because like you need so much more doubles in shaman, like you can't you cannot have like one flame tongue, right? So a lot of those cards, or like you have to like have two flame tongue, two Tuskar and stuff like that. But eventually, maybe work it. Maybe I should try it. Yeah.
I mean, even the removal. Like I was trying shaman to just more combo, you know, combo based, or even like. You know, the fun, like, reincarnate shamans. And like you said, it's pretty hard not to play double removals. You know, like the elemental destructions or the lightning storms or any of that, right? It's one of the tougher classes to do so. But at the same time, shaman needs the heal card. Like, I think more so than most classes, too. And they got the heal wave last expansion, right? Which was kind of interesting. It has that RNG aspect to it, unfortunately. But Reno is definitely better than heal wave. So hopefully,
sure. You know, it's just like a big body. Even if he doesn't heal, it's
exactly.
Like, especially if you play later, like just any threat or minion can be strong in some situations. So
yeah,
it's like you can play it like for anyway. You don't really need to always play it only for the heal. Whereas any wave is just like a lot of the time it's gonna be useless. It's not gonna do anything.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, well, I think that's about all the time we have today. Sorry about all the cams, guys. The Skype's just going nuts today. I don't know what's going on with it, but at least we were got a chance to talk with these guys audio wise. So all the podcast listeners, they're gonna be like, well, whatever. It's like all the same. But want to thank Elky and Reynad for coming on Value Town today. Elky, again, it's like first time on Value Town, and you know, being a StarCraft fan for a long time, seeing you actually back into competitive gaming and in Hearthstone, you know, just really gets me excited. So thanks for coming on the show, buddy.
Yeah, thanks, man. It was great. It was a lot of fun, and I'll be back for sure.
Yeah, awesome. Ray, of course, awesome having you on again. No, we just did a show yesterday, so I just feel like...
Yeah. Hopefully I'll be on Value Town more often now that I'm in the country on Wednesdays, so...
Yeah, awesome. And nice. And for those of you just tuning in, you know, thanks for watching again. And I know it's a little bit last minute. I had like my router too. Like I had just craziness today. So thanks for coming in last minute. And we have a Patreon actually also for this show. It's patreon.com/valuetown if you want to support the show. We're going to be doing call-ins. So call-ins for patrons and for subs. Definitely participate in that if you want to actually ask us questions and you know, kind of have a dialogue with us in terms of Q&A. Be sure to do that. That's going to be it for Value Town this week, guys. VODs will be on youtube.com/ChanManV very, very soon. But we'll for Elky, Reynad, and ChanManV, we'll see you next week. Later.
See you, guys.